Well, I appreciate the opportunity to minister the word to you this morning. I had my heart set on what the Lord I thought he wanted me to say. I got up this morning and looked at a few notes, and I thought perhaps I would change a few things around. Hope I don't stumble too much up here. Why don't we just take this time and give it to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we're thankful that still there's open doors in this country that we live in, that we can preach the gospel and minister your word. And I thank you that you've given me this opportunity once again so that you can manifest your power, Lord, through the Holy Scriptures. And I would just choose now to take that power that you've given each one of us. And I just pray that it would not be my mind, it would not be my will that I would be speaking here, but your will, Lord, that would go forth to the hearts here. May you just touch each heart in a special way. Amen. We're living in perilous times here. I think that's pretty apparent. Especially in light of the war. You know, all of our hearts and our prayers have been focused on certainly Israel, that the peace of Israel might continue to abound, although we know that it won't. Ultimately, it will. I've just been thinking about the incredible spiritual warfare that is taking place over there, and I don't think it's any less of a spirit battle over here. I believe, and in messages that I've heard, I feel in my heart that we are in the last of the last of the days for planet Earth, for the children of God, as far as on this planet is concerned. Certainly we know the scriptures such as Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that, if it were possible, they that are the false prophets shall deceive the very elect. And I just wonder if we have come to that time or not. I don't know. The scripture does not say exactly when this will take place, but certainly in a society in which we live in which we hear the gospel of riches and of prosperity and ease and comfort and pleasure being preached, certainly the deception is very, very great for the majority of the so-called church. I want to take a look at the gospel today in perhaps a way that you've not heard before. We're all familiar with Mr. Nicodemus in the Bible. What I would like to do is imagine for yourselves that you are in Nicodemus's shoes. And I want you to imagine his mindset. And we want to take a look today at what type of man was Nicodemus and what type of schooling he had. Where did he come from? What was his mindset that night as he secretly came to the Lord Jesus and asked him exactly what kind of man he was? How is it that the Lord could preach the gospel, his gospel, with such incredible power, with such clarity that there was no mistake whatsoever in his message? How is that? Well, the Lord had power, didn't he? The Lord had power from on high. And in his humanity, he was exactly like me. He is exactly like you in his humanity. And yet, we could read verses such as, I can't give you chapter and verse, but we've all read it, where the scribes and the Pharisees go to their people and say, "What's the matter with you? How come you didn't bring him to us at this time?" And the reply was, Never a man spoke like this man. For in his words were the very words of the Almighty God, in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think in these last days, we may be in for some trial in the United States of America that we've only read about in other countries. And it's only going to be, I believe, and the scriptures bear this out, it's only going to be when all around our soul gives way, it's going to be the difference between knowing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and not knowing it. Being a born-again believer by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and choosing to accept His power in the gospel and choosing not to accept His power. You know, in Ephesians 6:10, and we all know this one, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That word power in the Greek, K-R-A-T-O-S, kratos. It means power, it means dominion, it means strength. The same power that the Lord Jesus manifested on this earth when He did signs and wonders, healed the sick, cast out demons, and preached the gospel to those that were lost. In Luke 10:19 it says, behold, and this is Jesus speaking, I give unto you, and the Greek word there is exousia, I give unto you authority to tread on all serpents and scorpions and over all of the power or dunamis of the enemy. And that word dunamis, it means power, it means might, the same power that the Lord had when He brought forth creation, when He spoke creation into existence. And the scriptures tell us that the devil has this type of dunamis also. Although he cannot speak anything into existence, the devil has power, and it's described as the Greek word dunamis. But the Lord Jesus tells us that we not only do we have dunamis, like Christ Jesus had when He preached the gospel with power, with dunamis, with strength, with authority. Not only do we have that dunamis, but we have exousia, we have authority over all of the works of the devil also. Behold, I give unto you exousia, I give unto you authority over all the works of the devil. 1 Timothy 1:7, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of dunamis, of power. It is this power from God that every born-again believer possesses, but it is His choice whether He wants to use it or not. God is not going to turn you into a robot. It is your choice. And the Lord Jesus certainly manifested that dunamis, that power, when He preached the gospel to Nicodemus. And we're going to look at that. I want to look at the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that that type of power is described in Romans 1:16. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power, it is the dunamis, the TNT power of God unto salvation for all who would believe, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. So I think that as the times get tougher, we will have to know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in such a dimension that we may not have realized at this particular point in our lives. I think the gospel is preached very, very loosely in today's society. Easy believism, we call it. So let's take a look at that. Why don't we turn to John chapter 3. And in the remaining time, let's dissect a few verses here. And let's just get inside of Nicodemus' mind here, and let's find out why he has come to Jesus at this particular time. Let's go back and let's take a look at the history in the time of Jesus and find out exactly what this man called a Pharisee, what a scribe was all about. And if you know, it has been said by people of our time that a picture has 1,000 words. And I got a few books out of the library. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And I just want to come out here and show you what a Pharisee looks like. And here's a picture of one here. This is in a Jewish book. You see the box that he has over his head? And that's a phylactery, where the Torah was stuffed in the box up there, or bits and pieces of it, and that was supposed to be some extra special blessing that the Pharisee had. Let me show you one more picture. And if you can just imagine in your mind, the scriptures don't say what Nicodemus looked like, but if you can just imagine that perhaps that was Nicodemus. I mean, he was schooled in all the wisdom of the scribes and Pharisees. Let me show you one other picture that I've marked here. Here's another Pharisee here. Can you just imagine that maybe that's a Jewish Pharisee there? Can you just imagine that perhaps that was Nicodemus? The scriptures don't have pictures, but we try to imagine what they look like. So let's just read the first few verses here. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." And it's critical here. "The same came to Jesus by night," and we'll be investigating that. "By night he came and said unto him, Rabbi," or master, "we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." That was the dunamis of God being displayed there, the miracles. Now listen to what Jesus said. "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Incidentally here, if you study what's going on here, Jesus, from a human perspective, put his very life on the line here. It was a slap in the Pharisee's face. In other words, he's saying, Nicodemus, all of your college degrees, every one of them, all of your years and years of learning and wisdom and teaching and mysteries and in the Torah and the Mishnah and the Talmud and all your following of the law, what does it add up to? Zero. Zero. As far as entering the kingdom of God. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again." You have got to be born again. "You cannot see the kingdom of God." Listen to the base, I'm talking base answer that Nicodemus gives. "Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" What does Romans 1:23 say? "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened." Here is a man that is the upper echelon in Israel, the crust, the top crust. And he asked such a question as, how can a man be born when he is old? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Nicodemus is awestruck. He doesn't know what to say. Perhaps in his heart of hearts, all of his years of teaching and learning, there was still this void screaming out in his heart for an answer. Once again, Nicodemus says, how can these things be? How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Jesus Christ, he never wrote a book. He never got a degree from Tel Aviv University. He never had a PhD in back of his name, or a THD, or a BS, or an MS, or an XYZ. And yet the clarity, the power of God in John chapter 3, we must get a hold of today. Because when all around our soul gives way, it's not going to be the miracles. It's not going to be what we can do. It's not going to be who can save us, but it's going to be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that we will hold on to. Not only that Christ died for our sins, that certainly is a part of it, but we died with Him. We died with Jesus Christ, and we rose with Jesus Christ. And praise God, we shall reign with Jesus Christ. I'm sure that you're familiar with the mindset in Jerusalem at this day, in this particular time. You had basically, and I'm sure I'm not including them all, but you had basically four distinct categories of people this time. Religiosity, so to speak. You had the Essenes. And if you were to, let's draw a few circles here. The Essenes were way out here. They were the isolationists of our day. Oh, I don't want to go to church. I got my Bible here in my hand. I don't need church. All I got is my Bible here. I want to stay where I'm at and I'll read my Bible. And I don't want to have contact with anybody else because I'll get polluted. And I want to go to my own little church. Maybe they belong to a church. Some of them say, I want to go to my own little church, and if I go over here, I'll get polluted by their message because they don't believe the same thing that I believe. Or if I fellowship with this man over here, he'll say something I don't agree with, and that'll make me stumble, and I'll get tainted. That's not the gospel, is it? That sounds like a heart of bitterness to me. The Essenes, they were the isolationists. The Sadducees, they were the realists of our day. That I'm going to live today, and whatever happens tomorrow, I don't care. I'm going to go for the gusto today, and I'm going to live my life to the fullest. Maybe another Bible in the other hand over here. They were the realists. I'm sure you've heard the joke. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They were sad, you see. Isn't that funny? You've all heard that, right? Then you had the Pharisees, like our brother spoke about today, the legalists. I mean, we've got to follow every dot and cross of the T that is in this Bible. I mean, we have got to follow the letter of the law exactly the way it states, or we're not going to be good enough. I mean, if you don't follow this, you just might not make it exactly word for word. Instead of following the spirit of the law. They were the Pharisees. And the scribes, well, they were the mystics of today. They were the New Agers of today. I mean, we've got a revelation from God here. They were the scribes. We have got something extra. We've got something extra that you need other than what's in here. And we can give you meditation to use, and we can give you mantras to say, and we can crack the mysteries of God. Now, they were the scribes. Enter the Lord Jesus Christ, John chapter 3. And in the time of Jesus, it's important to note that Jerusalem, where he spoke here at this time, Jerusalem was the very center, the epicenter of theological and judicial or legal knowledge of Judaism. I mean, anything that was ever written about Judaism, it was right there in Jerusalem. And Jesus came into Jerusalem to challenge the religion of Judaism. Now let's focus on the scribes and the Pharisees. There's not nearly enough time really to focus on them, let alone the Sadducees and the Essenes. So let's take a look at the scribes and the Pharisees, because Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and the blessing about this particular time in Jesus' life is that there are multitudes of books about the history in the time of Jesus Christ. Okay? And I'm going to be pulling a lot of that history and speaking about it. If you need to know the book that I got out of or the books, I'll be glad to document that. So in the time of Jesus here, we're talking about the scribes and Pharisees. You had the scribes over here, and you had the Pharisees over here. The scribes having the esoteric, the mystical New Age doctrines in addition to the Torah, the five books of Moses. They were over here, and you had the scribes over here, you had the Pharisees over here like Nicodemus. Not only were they schooled in the mystic teachings of the scribes, but they also had political power. I mean, they were at the very seat of political power in Jerusalem. So they called the shots. The Pharisees, as we'll see in Nicodemus's case, they were, if they had certain qualifications, they could belong to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the Supreme Court of Israel, which Nicodemus was a member of. Okay? Keep in mind that the scripture does not, I don't think it says Sanhedrin anywhere, but typically when you hear the phrase the scribes and the Pharisees lumped together, or the chief priests and the scribes, you're talking about the Sanhedrin. That was a Sanhedrin. It was a Supreme Court of Israel. It was composed of 71 people, 71 men. One of the prerequisites to get into this, or the prerequisite of getting in to the Sanhedrin, was that number one, you had to be a scribe. You had to be a scribe. But a lot of the people, as in the case of Nicodemus, Nicodemus was also a scribe, and he was a Pharisee. It just so happened that Nicodemus, as you can read in secular history, was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was the top crust in Israel, in Judaism. Also, there are other scribes mentioned in the scriptures. The Levite Barnabas in the book of Acts was a scribe. I mean, these were the people that studied at a very early age. I mean, as soon as they were able to read, they were thrown into the pages of the Torah, the five books of Moses. And it was a lifelong study, a lifelong aspiration to be a scribe. Paul the Apostle was not only a Pharisee of Pharisees, but he was a scribe also. He knew the word. Maybe they weren't saved at very young ages, but the scripture bears out that they knew the word, because God used them in mighty, mighty ways. Acts 13:2 says, as they, that means the disciples, ministered to the Lord and fasted, note that, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. That just impressed upon me that the Holy Spirit used the years and years and years in the Scriptures prior to them being born again. The Holy Spirit used those years of study to the Holy Spirit's will. And certainly that's a testimony for us today that we've got to know the Word of God inside and out. And you do not need a PhD in back of your name to be able to stand with the greatest of theologians that have graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. You can do it, but you have to sacrifice. There must be incredible sacrifices to get into this Word. And I think the Lord would honor that. Now it's important to note, now we're stepping into how Nicodemus thought. Remember, he was a scribe and he was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. I mean, people came to him with a dispute. He settled it, no questions asked. And it was knowledge alone that gave power to the scribe. I've been in a class before. I related this incident to another meeting that I was in. I went to Stockton State College. I took a course in The Rise and the Fall of the Roman Empire. The gentleman that taught this course was a Greek Orthodox priest, very well known around the world. He has made appearances in the World Council of Churches and spoke on behalf of tremendous religious leaders. Every class he would come in, and the kids would sit on the edge of their seat. I mean, this man had knowledge in history and in the Scriptures that could not be paralleled. One day he comes in and he says, I have been thinking quite a bit about my life. Can anyone tell? In fact, I've gone to the library. I've taken out plenty of books. Can you tell me, students, where does a man go when he dies? I mean, here is a man that knows Greek, knows Hebrew, knows the Scriptures, and yet went to the library to get out secular books to try to crack the riddle in his mind, where does a man go when he dies? Jesus comes to Nicodemus. Nicodemus answers, how can a man be born again when he is old? Nicodemus knew the Scriptures too, but he was not born by the blood of Jesus Christ. He was not born by the power of God. Anyone who wished to join the company of these scribes that we're talking about had to pursue a regular course of study for many, many years. Josephus, the historian, was a scribe also. And it has been said that even at the age of 14, he had already mastered the interpretation of the law. I don't exactly know what that means, but even at the age of 14, he had incredible knowledge in the Scriptures. And when a scribe was ordinated, he could be received into the company of scribes as a member with full rights, just as we have today. You can go to Dallas Theological or Wheaton or Philadelphia Bible College and you can get your degree. You can get a degree as a reverend. You can get a degree as an ordained minister, and they will let you come to the pulpit and preach if you have that degree. So we have that type of mindset today. And don't get me wrong, very, very godly, very, very capable men of God have gone that route. But it seems as if being baptized with the Holy Spirit of God is enough. It seems that way to me. So after he went through all this schooling, he was an ordained scholar and he had the right to be called a rabbi. People were called rabbi then, Matthew 23:7-8. In that particular day, other men other men who showed incredible wisdom in the scriptures, although not having went to school, other men could be given that title of rabbi. And of course, it shows out here in chapter 3. It's interesting, Nicodemus, having gone to all these schools of academia, having all the degrees plastered in his study, having his Bible written through and through, tattered and torn with blood, sweat, and tears. And yet Nicodemus comes to Jesus, a man, the carpenter's son. It's interesting why Nicodemus went to him. A man who had not completed this rabbinic teaching had no rights. He had no rights whatsoever to the privileges of an ordained teacher. I mean, an ordained teacher, one who has gone into this mystical society of scribes and Pharisees and got in with a clique, they could go into the temples and preach. They had full rights. I mean, you just show the guard your membership card. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a scribe. I mean, you could go right on in and preach anything you wanted to preach. But a man who did not have that education had no right to go into the synagogue, to go into the temple and preach the very mysteries of God. He had no right, and he could be stoned because of that. And how many times do we find Jesus and his apostles and his disciples going into the synagogues and preaching with the dunamis, with the exousia, with the authority of Almighty God, at the very risk of their own lives? And yet we read many, many times that people took up stones in the temple to stone Christ, and yet they could not, because Christ passed through their midst. It is that faith of God, knowing that it, in spite of incredible odds, that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, have been given the power to go forth and preach the very gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with power at any cost. And I wonder how many of us, and I include myself in that list, truly, truly use that power that we've been given. So it's interesting to know, and we're talking about the Pharisees here in just a few minutes that remain, that according to Pharisaic teaching, there was a tradition so that people could follow the Torah. And it was written in a book called the Talmud, T-A-L-M-U-D. The Pharisees made a list of this whole book called the Talmud so that they would not break the law of the Torah. Okay? And it's very ridiculous, some of it. So that's what the Pharisees created. And according to Pharisaic tradition, or according to Pharisaic teaching, this tradition, the Talmud that they created, was regarded as equal to and indeed above the Torah. So the teaching of the Talmud that the Pharisees created in order to obey the scriptures was regarded as being higher than the scriptures, was regarded as being higher than the law, higher than the Torah. So you can see how people just got flipped around. I mean, their focus was on the Pharisees with the political power, with the mystic doctrines, with the Talmud, with all the religious knowledge of that day. And this was a man just like Nicodemus. My time is running out. Let me go on. So the scribes and the Pharisees had a great amount of dominance over the people. And it's incredible because of the deciding factor. Let's flip back and talk about the scribes for a second. The deciding factor about the scribes and their power was not that the scribes were guardians of the tradition or occupied key positions in society, but rather that the scribes were guardians of a secret knowledge of esoteric teaching. That is how the scribes had so much power. I mentioned it before. The Pharisees, political power. The scribes, mystic power. An example of the esoteric teaching of the scribes was the doctrine of the Son of Man, Isaiah 53. The scribes could not talk about the Lord Jesus Christ as contained in the Torah. They could not talk about the Son of Man to the general crowd. It was only their most intimate disciples that they could transmit the teaching of the Son of Man to. And that is in the teaching of the scribes. So in other words, Jesus brings us out, Matthew 23. He talks about the scribes and the Pharisees having the very key to the kingdom of heaven, but they do not give it to the people. Neither do they believe it themselves. It's Matthew 23. So here, in just a few minutes, we have described the mindset of Nicodemus. It was also a teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. When the scribes and the Pharisees wanted to have some more teaching, they would go by night. They would have this little meeting set aside, maybe a little group of scribes that the word got out, hey, Nicodemus is going to give us some mystic teaching. It's not written anywhere. But if you want to come, you come by night, real, real late at night, and go down here in this cave, and we're going to learn some mystic doctrines. So it was by night that the scribes and the Pharisees got together, and they talked about these mystic things. A lot of these mystic things are also contained in the Kabbalah. That is the occult. The Jews also had an occult teaching, and it was like witchcraft or sorcery. They went along the black magic side. That was contained in the Kabbalah. I believe that's the pronunciation. So these scribes, not only did they have mystic teachings of the word, but they also got way off the deep end into sorcery and things of that nature. So they had those teachings thrown in there too. But Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, and I want you to notice that here is a man that perhaps we have men and women in our midst today, that we have prayed for them, we have told them the gospel, and they are as hard as a rock. I mean, no way this man or woman is going to get saved. Forget it. And that was Nicodemus. And yet Jesus, in his compassion and in faith that he had in the Father, that the Father would work through him to display the very power of himself to Nicodemus, Christ could say, with full faith and assurance of this power, Nicodemus, I know what you've been through. I've been watching you, Nicodemus. Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And we know there's no evidence that Nicodemus was born again in John chapter 3. None. But we do know that Nicodemus' life was transformed by the dunamis of God that Christ appropriated. Let's turn to John 7 in our closing remarks here. John chapter 7, 50 and 52. 50 through 52, it says, now let me just point this out, here in John 7:45, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees. That is the Sanhedrin, the chief priests and Pharisees. And they said unto them, why have you not brought him to us? And here they say, the officers answered and said, never a man spake like this man. Then in verse 50, Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night Doth our law judge any man before it hears him and knows what he doeth? And listen to the response. I mean, Nicodemus is just stating what the law says. Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. The scribes told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, search the scriptures, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. That is why Jesus is not a prophet. They didn't know their own scriptures, did they? Jonah, that was swallowed in the whale, the prophet of God, came from Galilee. It's interesting that Jesus would say, I give you no sign except Jonah that was swallowed in the whale's belly. Jonah, the prophet of God, came from Galilee. John 19. So Nicodemus, you can tell that an incredible work has been worked in his heart. His heart is softening towards the gospel, towards the Lord Jesus Christ. John 19:39-40, and on this thought I will close. Nicodemus was surely born by the power of Almighty God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul could say, for it is the power, it is the dunamis of God unto salvation. Can you imagine? Let's go back to that. Remember the picture of the Pharisee here? I like to think that this was Nicodemus here. The Lord Jesus' body being ripped to shreds upon the cross of Calvary, blood drenched, not even taking on the form of a man, Isaiah 53. His form was, his visage was marred more than any man, his back being plowed open by the Roman centurions, Christ being nailed upon Golgotha's tree, and Nicodemus looking up at the man of Calvary. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea came to Pilate and asked for the body of the Lord Jesus, enough to be stoned for in the Pharisaic time of that day. He brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Can you imagine the scene of them taking our Master's body down from that cross? Can you get a hold of the gospel of the Lord Jesus here? As they took that body, Nicodemus handling that blood-drenched, ripped-open body of Jesus Christ, and laying that body in a tomb where no man had been laid. Can you imagine the trembling? Can you imagine the thoughts that were going through Nicodemus' heart? That this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the Nicodemus, after applying the myrrh and the aloes and the spices to this man of blood? Can you imagine the blood being on his hands? Can you imagine in the sweat of the hour, wiping his body? Perhaps he was drenched with sweat at the fact that any minute his life could be taken. Can you imagine the tears that came to Nicodemus' heart, that it was this man of Calvary, Jesus Christ, who took upon my sins upon that tree? Can you imagine the sight at that time as they laid his bloody body in a sepulcher? Him and Joseph of Arimathea. And I think that in today's age, this is what we have to get a hold of. The remembrance of the Lord as he laying there, his body in shreds. And yet every one of our names was written upon that body. Every one. Is it possible too that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, both being scribes in the Torah and the prophets, can you imagine that they probably studied Isaiah 53 day in and day out? Probably. They probably knew the scriptures more than me. Isaiah 53 says, "And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." Let me just conclude by saying, is it possible that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea studied this prophecy that was coming to pass before their very eyes? That he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Joseph of Arimathea bought that grave that the Lord Jesus laid in. I believe that that particular verse could have been pulsating in their hearts, that God Almighty Jehovah was fulfilling Isaiah 53 before their very eyes, through their very hands. The scriptures don't say, but I think that they were completely awestruck about this particular verse. So we see that Nicodemus, being a Pharisee and a scribe, was completely brought to his knees by the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I would ask you, as I am doing, to examine your own heart this morning. Are you of the school of the Pharisees? Or do you have a heart like Nicodemus had after his conversion? Let us really be willing in the coming days ahead.